Welcome to Watch Over,
a podcast devoted to all things Arrow and Felicity.
Featuring myself, Jen, aka J Buffy Angel,
and me, Kelly, aka Callista Wolf.
Be aware we do discuss spoilers
and swear now and then,
but we will always have fun and you will too.
Get going.
It's the Arrow season finale. It was so painful.
It is painful.
It is.
I don't think I've watched the whole episode like probably in 10 years.
Yeah. I have, but then we all know that I'm a bit of a freak in that regard. So,
well, I need to set the stage a little bit for where I was at emotionally when I watched it the first time, because we DVR'd everything. So it aired on Wednesday, but Nick and I typically didn't watch shows until Thursday.
Gosh, I forgot about DVRing.
Yep, DVRing. Okay. Because what was it? It was 2013. So, May 2013. So we would have watched Arrow first. So I watched Tommy die.
Oh, boy.
And then right after that, we watched The Vampire Diaries. And that's the episode that Elena chose Damon and Stefan drowns in a safe in the lake.
Bottom of a lake, yeah.
You weren't having a good day.
It was probably the most traumatic TV night of my entire existence on this planet. Maybe only slightly better than when they killed Pam on Dallas, because I was like 6 and thought she really died.
So traumatizing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the worst. You're just like, okay.
But I was
I still remember I live tweeted the episode like as it was like airing live. I was staying with my grandparents and was over in like the guest bedroom like live tweeting it, and that Emily Bett Ricards liked a few of my tweets, and I just thought it was like the best thing ever.
That's amazing.
The early days when they were all like on Twitter and everything.
Yeah, and doing their thing.
So good. It was so good.
It is.
I was just saying to Maddie when you joined that like season one was kind of all over the place, like we've discussed, but the finale really kind of brought it together and brought it home. It was a good finale. I mean,
you know, the action is good.
Yeah.
All through season one.
Oh, yeah.
So the combination, so, like, the big fight with Merlin is really good.
Yeah.
And Merlin taking on both Diggle and Oliver, you have to appreciate his abilities in that regard.
Yeah, it's true.
But I love that it's the episode. Felicity Smoke is the first person to call Oliver a hero. I love it's that true. For us. It's
I so do. Good. I do love that for us, too.
I love that for
she
us.
She saw his potential. It's canon.
Do we need to talk about my whole Casablanca thing?
Oh, yeah. Do that.
It happened.
Yeah?
Okay, so Maddie, I don't know if you saw this, but...
Do tell.
I was watching 121 again and writing the review. And it's when Laurel goes to Oliver and is at the bar and tells her that that Tommy broke up with her. And Oliver's all, like, smarmy and flirty. And he was like, of all the bars in all the world, whatever the line is from Casablanca, she walks into mine. And I was like, you know what? That's so smarmy. And then I was like, wait. And then I, like, looked at the plot of Casablanca again, rewatched it again. And I was like, oh, my God, this is literally Oliver, Felicity, or Oliver, Laurel, and Tommy. Yep. So basically the plot of the love triangle in Casablanca is Ingrid Bergman's married to this really good guy. He was in a Nazi concentration camp. And she thought he died.
Correct.
So then she hooks up with Humphrey Bogart in Paris because she thinks her husband's dead, right? And they're, like, not big on details with each other at all. They fall in love in, like, a week, except they don't ask each other any, like, personal questions. It's weird. So then she finds out the husband's alive, and she just leaves Humphrey Bogart without any explanation. Gives him a Dear John letter, takes off. So then he heads off to, like, Casablanca. He's kind of a scoundrel. He's very disenfranchised. He, like, doesn't really care about the war effort. He lets people try to find, like, a passage out of Nazi Europe through his bar, but, like, he's not sticking his neck out for anyone.
No, he's in it for himself.
Yeah, he's totally in it for himself. Then she shows up with the husband, because now he's running from the Nazis. The Nazis are in Casablanca, but it's not Nazi controlled, so they really can't touch him. So, like, he has all these, like, face-offs with, like, Nazi generals. You're like, this is crazy that they don't just, like, shoot you. So, long story short, you know, Ingrid Bergman's going to be like, no, I love you. I'm going to stay with Humphrey Bogart. They go to the plane because they're going to send the husband. They got a plane for the husband, getting him up to the United States. And Humphrey Bogart puts Ingrid Bergman on the plane. Why? Because he's like, you know, you're going to regret staying with me. He's like, deep down, you really love him.
And you left me for him.
You left me for him. And if you stay with me, you will eventually regret this decision, because he's a really good guy. He's a good man who really loves you, who deserves you. I'm really not that deserving of you. So here we go. Get on the plane. We'll always have Paris.
You think you love me, but you know you love him. So
yeah, and he's like, you love him more. You might not know that right now. I'm distracting you. I've distracted you from the love of your husband, and I'm no longer pursuing that. And he's like, we'll always have Paris, understanding that Paris was a moment in time that they can never go back to.
Yes.
Like, they can't bridge the time between them. Too much has happened. But it's a happy memory for Humphrey Bogart. It doesn't cause him pain anymore. And Ingrid Bergman's like, yeah, you're right. And she gets on the plane. That's Casablanca. So basically what they're saying is, what Oliver should have done with Laurel in that hospital hallway
was put her on the plane.
He doesn't love her. Put her on the God blessed plane, Oliver.
But he was selfish.
Put her on the plane. But he didn't. He's selfish. And this episode with the finale, Laurel makes her choice. She chooses Oliver. Ugh. But she's gonna come to regret it, which we do when Tommy shows up to save her.
And like, that was
gut-wrenching. I really think in that moment, she's like, I done fucked up. This is the guy. This is the guy.
He's expecting Oliver to show up to save me. Yep. But whose face Tommy. Through the smoke
and he looks
is
right
Tommy.
At her. Yep. He looks right at her and he's like, I love you. And he gets that freaking brick off of her. And I will give Katie Cassidy credit. Okay. So she gets out of the building. Katie Cassidy's acting, Laurel's reaction to Tommy dying is really good. She's hysterical. She sells it. For me, she does. I was always like, this is traumatizing. And I think Laurel reacts like that, not just because Tommy's her friend. She's known him for a long, she really loves him. And right. She realized that she's lost him forever now. She's never going to get him back.
And let's be real, because of her. Because
it has to be real.
Yeah, it was exactly. Her fault, because she went there for paper.
Yep.
She had to go save paper. She wasn't saving a person. Tommy went there to save a person. She was there to save paper.
I didn't realize the whole fucking staff was there. I was like, what are these people doing?
Just the dumbest.
To me, which is why I reject season 4. I know they gave that. They do this whole rewrite in season 4. Stupid. But we're gonna just ignore that because it's stupid. And they gave it to Katie Cassidy because they were like just trying to like appease her. But
remember, in season 4, the run up was, we have to redeem Katie Cassidy.
Yeah.
So that you'll be sad when she dies.
We weren't sad. We weren't even sad for a minute. Not for one little
bit. Your number one clue that she was dying was they're rehabbing her character. Oh God, she's gonna die.
Uh huh. She's a saint. I'm like, they're gonna kill her. 100%. Suspicious already because of Comic-Con. She had nothing to talk about. And I was like, because they were going to do the whole, like, and we'll talk about it. They had a love interest for her lined up, and then it just disappeared. And she had, like, no storyline. She didn't have anything to talk about in the interviews. I was like, well, this isn't a good sign. And I thought they were going to send her over to Legends. I didn't think they were going to kill her. But then the Grave thing popped up, and I was like, oh, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. So, to me, like, that's the moment when Tommy dies. She really does realize. And I think as the audience, we realize he was the most deserving of her. Really, yes. Oliver is a selfish prick. And in this regard,
Tommy was her soulmate.
And Tommy was her soulmate. And Oliver needed to bow out a long time ago. But Oliver's living like he can recapture Paris with her.
Yeah.
And he can't. You cannot do that. You know, life moves on, people.
Because
you make choices.
As somebody who literally set Paris on fire himself, he said, yep. No, you can't go back. It's gone. It's burned to the ground. What is
exactly.
he doing?
Yep. So I feel like a dummy because I never noticed.
I never even gave it a second thought.
Texting Callie, and I'm like, holy shit, they totally telegraphed the entire demise of Laurel and Oliver.
Yes,
she's like, did. And we're like talking about it, and we're like, fuck. Seriously, they did. It just went right over my head. If I had paid attention to any of that, I would have been so confident season two. I would have just been like, we got this in the bag, y'all. Nope, didn't notice it. Never paid attention to it. I was like, okay, I see you, Arrow.
I remember when you put out your...
it too.
I feel like my first introduction to you on Tumblr was your post talking about the scene with Laurel and Oliver in the season one finale.
Oh, yeah, because I hate it.
And how this meant that they were over and how it meant Felicity was the future.
Yeah, I compared the two of them. I compared the scene in season, because I started the blog after season two. So someone asked me to compare the two love confessions, the one from Oliver and Felicity and the one from Laurel and Oliver. And like from a literary analysis standpoint, there's plenty of stuff to really dive into because like you've got the light, you've got the hood, you've got no hood, you've got Oliver. The thing that is so frustrating about the love confession in the season finale with Laurel, he never says I love you.
Nope.
No.
It wasn't a love confession. It was a yes. That was great. I'm so glad you let me sleep with you. But now I have shit to go do. And she's like, but wait, this is important. This is about us. And he's like,
yep.
I don't got time for you. That's how it came off to me when I first watched it.
And you are not wrong at all. Not even a little bit. Like, I just, my thing with him is, you know, the time, if you were going to tell Laurel that you're the Arrow or that you're the Hood, that time was now. And they have this whole thing where he's not in the Arrow suit. He's just Ollie. They're standing in the, you know,
foyer of the Queen Mansion.
They do the big kiss with the light. It's light pouring in.
Well, it's a lame ass kiss though. Like
it's like very tepid, and the light actually obliterates them. Like because I was like, oh, you can't even really see them kiss because there's so much light. But I was like, this is interesting. Because they're kind of making it like, oh, this is all wrapped up now. She's his light, right? But my thing with that was, he's still lying to her.
Yeah, they're not 100% on the same page.
Right. There's no, you can't be like, you've always known the person I am without telling her this is the person
who you are.
I am. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, it was nonsensical. Whereas with season two, which we'll get into, I'm sure, 1,000 more times because it's amazing. He's in the Arrow suit, but his hood is down.
Yep.
So he's like both sides of himself. It's covered in darkness. Like the house is dark. It's like from just an imagery standpoint, it's like the direct opposite, which I thought was very interesting. He tells her that he loves her.
Yeah.
He says the word, I love you.
Yeah.
Which, in the history of he never said, I love you to Laurel.
Never.
Not one
Not
time.
That we ever saw. Not even in flashbacks.
Yeah. So, I was, like, seriously freaking enraged. that whole scene. Because his whole deal was like, you've always seen the person that I am. You know, the island didn't change me, just scraped away who I really was inside. I was like, all right, this guy loves himself some semantics. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
It felt like he was saying what he thought she needed to hear, not so much speaking from the heart. Every time he talked to Felicity like that, you felt that he was digging in and really like getting out what he felt inside. And when that thing in at the end of season one, he wasn't like, it didn't feel genuine. It didn't feel authentic.
Yeah.
It's just pretty words.
Lead up just doesn't feel.
Because like, really also feels like Oliver's real view of himself at like season one stage wasn't the island scraped me all the bad stuff away to make me a hero. He thought of himself of the island scraped away all that I was and turned me into like a killer. And correct. Like, yeah. Right.
Yes.
So he didn't like think he was the best version of himself after the island. So
yeah, obviously. The end of season one, he still thinks that the non-arrow Ollie is the superior Ollie. Like which he thinks who he was before the island is a great dude.
100%.
I'm like, honey.
And just that whole process of like, oh, it just scraped away. I was always this great guy underneath, which you always thought I was. I just was a, and I was like, okay, if that's how you want to phrase it, to me, it doesn't matter. Like, okay, the island scraped it away. If that makes you feel better about the scenario,
you're wrong, but okay, let's whatever. Go with it.
I prefer the word changed in that he experienced true suffering. And suffering has purpose at times.
Yeah. Transform. So, like
exactly.
Yeah.
Like it is the intention a lot of times can be to mold you into something.
And if you're a particularly stubborn person like Oliver, that's what right. You need. You need like the more violent it is, the
you
more
you need to be
work.
Humbled. You're going to get taken down to your knees before you're willing to adapt to whatever is required to survive what you're going through.
Yes.
So I'm a very big proponent is that suffering is not, there's no reason for suffering. I actually have the 100% different view on that. So to me, fine. Oliver doesn't want to say it changed him. He says he wants to scrape it away. I think that's BS. I think he was a very selfish person. And yeah. He had to learn how to be.
Well, and that's what I mean. Selfless. It's not that suffering is everybody needs to suffer to learn. It's just that Oliver needed to suffer to learn.
Right. Exactly.
He was such a selfish, self-involved guy when he got Gilmore. On that boat. And right. he wasn't going to listen to anything.
Right.
Even if it came up and slapped him in the face, he wasn't going to listen to anything. He had to go through this
crucible.
Gauntlet.
Crucible.
Yeah, crucible.
Well,
there
and
you go.
Also, like in your traditional hero's journeys, there's step to the process. Like
yes.
Joseph Campbell has breaking the mouth.
Yes.
So this whole Laurel kiss and having sex with Laurel, this is like getting the reward before he's gone through
right.
the whole gauntlet.
He was like, he was trying
like
to close
the loop. Right. They closed the loop before he did anything. I was like, you haven't done the thing yet. Like you haven't stopped Merlin.
You haven't earned this.
You haven't earned this. You haven't earned her. He really has not earned her yet.
And then that's when the revelation comes that she's not the one he's trying to earn.
Right. So I think that, well, and also that, you know, he hasn't done the thing that would make him worthy of that, which is to, you know, Humphrey Bogart gave up Ingrid Bergman because he loved her and knew she would be better off with this other guy.
Right.
And he was like, I've got my, and it reignited this passion to like fight evil, fight the Nazis. And he was going to go off and do that.
Yes, he wasn't just going to go back to his old life. No. He was going to help
like,
get people
exactly.
out of Casablanca.
And he was like, I've got my mission. You've got yours. They're on separate paths. I love you, but this is where you're needed. This is where you're safe. And that's where you're going. That's what Oliver should have done. Mm. And he did not do that. So Well, that, those choices led to Tommy being in that building.
I feel like if Oliver had done that, then maybe their love story wouldn't have been over. There would have been an opening to revisit that seasons later.
See, that's where I don't agree, because I think that only works if you're going to let Tommy be alive. You know what I mean?
Well, so, but I mean, if they had followed the original trajectory of having Tommy turn evil.
Yeah, then you're keeping the Laurel love triangle. Yes, I agree. Like, if Tommy was alive, and like then it doesn't make sense otherwise.
Oh, yeah. No, 100% it would require Tommy evil dead.
So. Yeah.
Exactly. So they're abandoning this entire storyline.
They did.
Which is why it feels so rushed and abrupt and false. It makes no sense. And you're like, wait, like, she doesn't know anything. You're saying she always knew you, except you were a douchebag. Always seen as you being a douchebag. So how did she know you were like, what's going on?
Wasn't it in like one of the first episodes where she was like, I always knew you were an asshole or something like that? Like, this is who you are. I understand this is who you are. She literally said, I've always seen you as a selfish prick. And then at the end, it's like, you always have seen who I am. And I'm like, since when?
Yeah. Well, and like she said to him when he comes back, like, Sarah fell for you for the lie of who you are, just like I did. So, you know, it's just they were seriously closing the loop on this.
Oh,
and
man.
I don't really agree. Because I was always really frustrated that this is how it all went down, because Tommy ends up dying.
Yeah.
And I was like, it didn't have to go down like
this.
We hate but
Tommy dying.
I didn't agree, and I still don't agree with Mark, that Oliver and Laurel, in order to close that storyline out, had to get back together.
Yeah. It didn't have to. He could have just given her.
It didn't have to happen at all.
Given her away.
You could have him say, nope. Whatever, let it go.
It was basically where they had, like, the reality is they had to, like, for the stupid comic book fans and stuff, have to attempt Laurel and Oliver at least once. Yeah. And be like, see, we did it.
I guess. So that makes sense. I could see them absolutely doing that, just so we could say, no, it's not that we ever ignored her.
You know, they're like, oh, we had to follow through on this storyline. I'm like, no, you didn't. But the only
it's the same way of like the weaponizing competence of a dude that like does a terrible job at loading the dishwasher, so they never have to do the dishes again, and be like, see
I tried to load the dishwasher. Oh well, we better move on.
The good thing
I guess
is,
you shouldn't have me do dishes.
And I don't like calling it a good thing, but the good thing is that function Tommy's death serves now as we go into season two is they cannot be together, because they just betrayed this really amazing guy. They betrayed him.
And do you want to betray him further by...
Right. It was wrong of them to hook up. It really was.
It was painted as a bad thing. If Radioactive wasn't your clue, guys, it was wrong.
Not to make another Vampire Diaries comparison, but when Elena and Damon hook up, the body on the Steph and Elena relationship wasn't even cold. Like,
no.
It was like a day later and she's sleeping with his brother. They didn't do that to show that that was a good choice and Elena's doing the right thing. Like, they were saying Elena's changed and what she's doing is very wrong and hurtful to Stefan. So I was like, it's,
and they're vampires that have super hearing, so he can hear the whole thing.
Exactly. You're like, awesome, that's great.
That's awful. Like,
oh no, yeah, I'm talking about when they first have sex.
Yeah, exactly. And Stefan's in the house when they have sex.
No, he wasn't. He was at Caroline's house.
Oh,
he left.
Goodness.
Because the bitch moved in and he was like, I'm not sticking around here. So he left. She kicked him out. Not only did she kick him out of his own house, but then she bones his brother not even 24 hours after she breaks up with him. Yeah, she's a real treat in season four. Be happy you stop watching, Kelly. So to me, it's the same scenario. Which, again, this regret that we were saying Laurel's going to feel. She absolutely feels. She realizes she picked the wrong guy. And Oliver is never going to be the right guy for her. And I feel strongly about this because in the series finale, this is fully supported.
Oh, yeah, because Tommy was alive.
Tommy's alive, and he gets married to Laurel.
Yeah. That was...
Thank you.
...presented as the right ending.
And that's the right ending. She's still dead, but she did get married to Tommy, and they were meant to be.
I like how the right ending was her still dead, though.
I know, it's fantastic. Like,
wonderful.
You guys are so
funny. I love that for us.
Like, oh, no, we redeemed her. But it's so bad.
Talk is like, okay, Black Canary or like.
And we
Black
mourn the story possibilities of like if they, the drama of Laurel dying and Tommy like trying to save her, but she still dies. And so Tommy goes evil. It would have been some good drama. But
it would have been good drama. Remember when we thought Tommy was going to be Prometheus? Now, we love ourselves some Josh Tagara, but that would have been amazing. At that point,
you know why? Because season 5 was rough, and me and Cal, we were like, we're just going to inject some crazy.
Honestly, it would have been amazing, and the story fully supported it. So.
Yeah, it fully supported it.
All it said to me that he wasn't was that we couldn't get...
That he was on Chicago Med.
We couldn't get Colin Donnell. He was
just fired. We just couldn't figure out, like, I think the announcement came, because we were like, we're not that stupid. Like when he's under contract in Chicago that he can go do this other TV show. But there was like, I feel like there's a rumor he was departing the show or something. So when that news came out, Callie and I were like, oh, this could really happen.
It could happen.
But like, I guess because in season 8, he does come back and is Prometheus in one of the other
Which was realities. Their way of saying, Jen and Callie, you were right.
You were but right. We just couldn't do it. Like, that's right. We were right.
Everybody always bagged on us when we were wrong. No, we were right. It just wasn't feasible.
Except we were wrong. We were right. That's
we
how
were
that works.
So right. We were right. We were so right.
We were so right. We were wrong. So, I really from like a trajectory for season 2 of where they're gonna go with. Like, I understand it from a season 2. If you're going to blow up Oliver and Laurel, because you got to blow it up, okay? Because, like, they set it up.
They nuked it hard.
Yeah, they set it up in the freaking pilot. It's not enough that you know, they close the loop and have them get together for 5 seconds. Like, they set it up as Green Arrow, Black Canary. That's where we're going. They set this up. In the finale or in the pilot. So
they had to follow through on it. You
blow that shit up. Like, you can't just be like, oh, just kidding. Like, you have to come with like a storyline that's going to make sense for why these characters never hook up again. And it has to be something pretty brutal.
And that's brutal. I mean, they achieved it. Congratulations.
Right. I mean, I really like, sorry, we caused Tommy unbelievable pain. And betrayed him. And that's basically the last thing we did to him. And then he died trying to save me. Yep, that's tough. That's a tough
yeah.
nut
so
to crack.
We'll get into that a little bit more in 201 because there's an interesting conversation about that whole situation. But for the sake of time, since Callie has a heart out.
You guys keep we'll moving. On. It's good.
Gotta love as far as Tom... Poor Tommy, of basically the theme of the episode. But like, he first confronts Oliver, and Oliver's kind of a dick about it. Like, and the thing that drives me crazy is like, we know Oliver can take a punch. So when he like dodges, so Tommy falls on the ground, you're just like, dude, you know, you at least deserve a punch in the face. Like,
I'm so sad that Tommy didn't land that punch.
Yeah.
I was like, of all the punches that she landed, that's the one. That's the one.
Yeah.
Is Tommy's death the most traumatic death on Arrow?
No.
Moira is also up there.
We love Tommy, but like actually watching it happen in real time, the most traumatic is probably Moira.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I was I wasn't like emotionally as upset about Moira, but it was much more brutal to watch.
Correct. Yeah. Well, it was brutal from like a story perspective because Oliver and Thea are right there.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful.
And they're helpless. And they're watching.
He gets run through with a sword.
It's really the worst death in terms of like how they die.
Right.
It's really no. Awful.
I'm thinking of like the impact on the other characters. Like, oh, yes, obviously.
I'm thinking about like emotional impact to me. I feel like I cried way more when Tommy died than I did when Moira died. I was just kind of like 100%. Horrified when Moira dies.
Like from my perspective, for me personally, it's Tommy. But like Moira, I don't know. There's something about Oliver falling over in the leaves and just like, ugh. And then like what it did to Thea. And, it's just, I don't know, man. That was fucking terrible.
I mean, here's what I said. I mean, Tommy is basically the perfect character in season one. We don't, like, he really doesn't do anything.
I think Colin Donnell was more charming than he needed to be to sell that role.
Yeah.
And I feel like they felt bad at the end. They're like, oh, no, we have to kill him now. We all love right. him. And now he has to die. This fucking sucks. We wrote ourselves into this.
Because you're right. Because if they didn't kill him, then you have to do something with him.
Because he's too charming and talented.
Right. Like, what are you going to do with him? Because Dick's already moving in as, like, you know, the best friend. You have to, like, ultimately, you have to involve people in the Hood plot line. Otherwise, it doesn't, correct. It just doesn't work. They
they're
have to
separate from the action.
You know?
Yeah.
So, unless.
But I love the slow realization that he has that his dad is, like, crazy.
He's like, oh, he's nuts. Oh, he's
well, the fight that they have, I mean, Merlin is, like, really scary. Because, like, he's like, let me show you something. He takes out the freaking recorder with the mother's death. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is super healthy. And Tommy just
and
is like,
so, please don't play that.
Yeah, and Tommy's like, please stop playing that. And then he's just like, so everybody has to die? And Merlin's like, they just have to die. And I was like, whoa, the crazy came out. Here's the crazy. And Tommy's like, you're terrifying. You need to die.
He's like, I misjudged Oliver, and
yeah, Oliver's right. I was wrong. Here's the thing. I guess
in this specific instance, Oliver is very right.
To this day, I am still confused. Okay, about something. Okay. Did Oliver think Merlin was dead after the roof fight?
Yes. Everybody thought he was dead.
I think so. Yes.
Okay, so then when Tommy's dying, he just lies to Tommy. No, I didn't kill your dad.
Correct.
I think so, to make him feel better as he's dying.
Okay. I've never been sure about that, so I appreciate the clarification.
I 100% think he lied to Tommy. Because I think that he knew Tommy was dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, rebar through the chest.
Like, we'll go through that later better. But right now, you
well, are. Yeah. I mean, a good chunk of time is spent. What I noticed this time. So, you know, Felicity is going to be the one to disarm the UNIDAC thing. But Oliver is like, you need to get out of here. And she's like, no, if you're staying, I'm staying. And she's like, I'll defuse it. But he really doesn't want to put her in any danger. So he calls Quentin. He does that. He calls Quentin. He's sacrificing Quentin so Felicity is safe. I was like, do you want to explain that to your girlfriend? Oh, by the way,
I was like, I'll include you, but like,
I'm a firm believer that Boy was developing feelings for Felicity in season one, but 100%. Was big time walling them off. Like every single time there's like a little voice says, oh, ooh, maybe hurt. And then he's like, nope, we're not even going to think about it. We're not even going to think about it.
Like, how do you explain that to Laurel? So your dad's dead because I'm the Hood, and I told him to go shut down the earthquake machine, and I didn't send this other girl that I hang out with constantly, and she knows all my secrets, and I think she's really cute, and I did that to save her.
Yep.
Is how that went down. Because I realized that Felicity had offered to shut down the machine, to go out into the field and shut it down.
Yeah. And he's just like, nope.
I forgot. And he's like, fuck no, that ain't happening. I was like, okay.
I think I read a fic where she did go out in the field and he had to choose between saving her and saving Laurel. And he picked her. Oh, yeah.
That's an easy call.
But, like, that would have worked so well, too.
That would have been great. No, but in season two, because we'll get that. But right now, we'll get they there. Are going
to
take...
So, I'm going to admit...
Ready. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to admit, I cried two times this in the episode watching this time. Obviously, Tommy's death. But Lance's call to Laurel when the timer has now been, 2 minutes, and it's, like, we don't have enough time, and it's, like, it's happening now, and we're not going to make it, like, solely on the back of Paul Blackthorne's acting, because Katie's not doing anything. He just, because she gets this little high-pitched voice, Dad? That is just...
Oh, please, stop.
But Paul Blackthorne is acting his ass off, and you're just, like, damn it.
What I noticed about that speech, you know, again, hindsight's 2020, but what I noticed about what he tells her, he's like, don't do these things. Don't do what I did. It sets up her whole season two arc. Because she doesn't listen to him. She does exactly all she of those things exactly. in season two.
Yes, she does. She goes, mm-hmm. She starts drinking. She pops pills.
She shuts people out of her life. She didn't think she had a right to live. She betrayed Tommy. It's all Laura's entire arc.
She blames Oliver. What did Quentin do for her most of season one? But blame
exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, and really, where you're going to drill down to it is, does she think she's worthy of living now that Tommy's dead? To me, if Tommy was not the love of her life, I think eventually she would have been able to move on. I don't think that you get the spiral that we get in season two without that.
Yeah, and he kind of informed a lot of what she did, not just in season two, but beyond that. Like,
yes.
Sarah too, obviously, but like right. Tommy was tied up in that.
Oh, 100%.
You can't tell me he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. He was. He was, yeah. I think she had to reorientate onto something else.
And she never showed real interest in Oliver again after season two.
No, there's a very specific episode where that's done. And I'm very excited to discuss it. Because there is an episode where she, it's not the fight. It's the episode where there's the fight. But it's later in the episode where she tells him to take a fucking hike. And it's fantastic.
Yes.
It's very underplayed. It's very underplayed, but I was like, yeah, that's it. That's what I've been wanting you to do for a really long time.
He is done with him.
Yeah,
got
she's
it.
Like, get the fuck out. I'm going to talk to my sister. I'm like, yes! Stop. Like, you have to remove him. Remove him from your life. Which she doesn't ever really do, but it's fine. So.
But, like, as allies, maybe even as friends, that's fine.
But
like, romantically, they were done.
Yeah. Which they need, I mean, they really need to be. I, you know, I think, again, season two, it's going to be so much fun. Because it's really.
Oh my God, we're going to have a blast.
We're going to have a blast. But yeah, it really sets it up nicely in the season one finale. Oliver fails. And what Merlin tells him is, you're going to lose because you don't know what you're fighting for. And at the very end, Oliver's like, I'm fighting for my family. I'm fighting for my dad. But he really doesn't have the right approach yet. So that's why he failed. Like, they're not... I thought that was a really bold move to have Oliver fail in season one.
Yeah. It was so bold. I mean, that finale was so...
You're like, oh, holy shit, they really did get rid of, like, a quarter of the city. Not, like, half, because we stopped one device, but the quarter of the city, like, they really did do that. Which shows, like, what a genius Merlin was. I don't think we ever really got... Prometheus was pretty genius.
Prometheus was amazing.
Prometheus would have been so much better if there had been more of a Felicity element to it, but we'll have to let that go.
We'll crack right that bridge.
We'll get that.
There.
We'll crack that. Crack that egg when we get to it, but whatever. Yeah. No, I really, that part of it where Oliver fails, he doesn't save the city, is, you don't think very much in a superhero show. Again.
You know what's interesting, though, about him running off to the island again? I suppose
I I think we're losing Callie.
We are.
Okay. We lost you, Cal.
You're losing me.
It's starting in the same place.
Okay, you're going to have to say that all again next week.
Remind me.
So it's like it's a trailer for next week. It's a trailer for next week.
I'll forget, but remind me.
In other news, I think that kind of wraps it on the episode, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say it is a good, like, more, like, there's a little bit of good Moira stuff of...
You mean she's not a psycho and actually does something right and does the right thing?
Yes.
Doesn't have half a city destroyed just to save her two kids, because Oliver's like, cool, I'm not going to be okay with that.
That was good. A little Moira redemption. No.
Like, if you're really going to, who got the better of Malcolm, it's Moira Queen.
Truly.
Like, she really did get the upper hand on him. Even more so than Oliver. I mean, Oliver just had to go, like, brute strength. Oliver was, like, more willing to, like, stab himself through the chest. That's how he beats Merlin. But, like, in terms of, like, gamesmanship and outthinking him, like, doing the reporter thing, like, putting him on blast, that was pretty smart.
Yep. Pretty good way to go.
For toxic relationships, you know? Put them on blast. The power's in the secret.
Although, I do love the moment, because it just shows how tertiary her plot line is when she is at the press conference, and then instead of just being horrified that, like, mom was aiding and essentially committing, like, mass terrorism, that, like, it's just like, Roy's in the Glades, and the mom's like, Roy, I love Roy. Like, that's nice, like, but like, there's bigger stuff.
Well, and like, the other thing I put in my notes, I was like, does nobody have a cell phone? Why do we all have to drive down to the Glades to save people? Like, you can't get in your, like, pick up the phone, tell them, hey, leave the Glades, come to my house. We have to go down to the Glades to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exciting. All right, peeps. We'll pick it up next week.
Season 2, it's happening. Oh, actually, one last little thing I will just say. I enjoy in this season 1 finale with how Felicity is handling the chaos that's unfolding around her. It's so often that the quote-unquote strong female character is just, like, unfeeling and, like, non-reactive to stuff. So, like, the fact that she is a badass that's, like, helping on this device and all these things, but also when there's an earthquake that she might die in and people are dying everywhere, that she cries. And it kind of shows more, like, the multi-dimensions of the character.
Like that. I agree. I didn't like her acting, though. I felt like the crying was a little forced. She gets better. But I was like, it's not my favorite acting scene from Emily Bevercards. But yes, I agree exactly with all of that, Maddie.
Yeah. So that's a good thing. But there's a lot of stuff to look forward in season 2. So it's going to be fun.
We're going to do season 2. We made it.
Wait. Before we end, because I got a few minutes here. Before we end, we have to discuss the biggest news.
There's so much. I don't know. What's the biggest news?
Taylor Swift's new album.
Oh, yeah. She won album of the year.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, the new album.
Oh, my God. Listen, if I were Joe, like, witness protection,
Immediately,
sir.
Also, like, well, the good thing is he likes hiding away from press.
Yeah, exactly. He's been preparing to hide from this the whole time.
This is his moment. He's going to put all those skills to excellent use. Also, now all of a sudden people from his camp are like piping up and being like, we're going to be very disappointed in Taylor, you know, if she releases private details about her life. I was like, bitch, where was all this? Oh, our life is private when she wrote Lover. Where was this when my life was private when she did the whole freaking Reputation album to you? Like, you weren't bitching then about her.
You just don't like it if it's not
You don't like it if it's not positive. Well, then don't be a dill hole and she won't write about you. That's
right.
The problem to solve. it drives me nuts that the guys always put the behavior on her.
Oh yeah. 100%. They have
nothing to do with this. I'm like, you know, narcissism with these people is just...
You know what's driven me crazy is I've seen in a lot of the comment sections on videos talking about Taylor Swift this week, there's a lot of people who are standing up for Joe and saying, they'll say like, there's a whole bunch of things. One, we don't know both sides. We don't know what Taylor did. Another one, I will never be against Joe because he spoke up for Gaza. Then I forget what the third one is, but I'm like, it's always at least those two things. And it's like, oh my God, are you fucking kidding me? I don't need to know
what happened. She dated him for 6 years and he never proposed. He's dead to me.
Correct. And he kept her hidden. We know it was him keeping her private hidden because as soon as they broke up, we saw her again.
Listen, she gave her most fertile years to him. Fuck off, Joe.
People keep saying, oh, he's not the bad guy. He saved her. Don't you remember when he saved her? And it's like...
He just supported her hiding out. That's not saving her.
Like he went with her when she went into hiding in England.
They hit out together.
That was hard.
And like, to me, when you listen to interviews with her before that happened, she was very much like, I need to live my life. I understand I'm famous. I'm not going to let that stop me from living my life. Like, I'm going to have security. There's precautions I need to take. But like, I asked for this. That's all I asked for was this when I was younger. So now I can't be like, oh, this is such a burden and complain about it because I asked for this and I got it. My wish came true. So I need to deal with it. Then later on, it's all about, oh, Joe's teaching Taylor about privacy. You know, it's very much feeling like she, you know, she got really burned off the Kanye stuff. She was like just super distrustful of everyone. She just kind of shut out.
She just needed to step away for a while. And Joe was like, we're going to step away forever. And forever. Like, no.
And like, can never perform again or write a song without me getting credit. Like, it was, don't care what it was on his side, but like, you don't date a girl for 6 years and not propose. It's a dick move.
It is such a dick move.
Especially if that girl is Taylor freaking Swift.
Yep.
No notes.
The level. Just cannot. I cannot handle it. No, the track lines, the track songs, the titles, like.
It's going to be amazing.
Come up again. So interesting. I don't know if we talked about this. So we've talked about the So Long London, track 5. We've talked about the But I Love Him Daddy, which Maddie was like, yeah.
But Daddy, I love him.
Yeah, which is Little Mermaid who loses her voice for the love of her life. But somebody pointed out that the Clara Bow song.
Yes.
There's actually a poem that William Bowery wrote about Clara Bow.
Yes.
Bill Bowery wrote a poem about Clara Bow. I tried to read it. It doesn't make any sense. But they're like, his pen name is William Bowery. I was like,
it's gonna slay.
It's given details, like, to me. Also, the whole like doing this on the 19th of April, which is when the Revolutionary War started.
Oh, I know.
I was like, I could only dream of being this. You know what I mean?
Like, I love her so much.
The way her mind works, it's like, I think of this shit. Like, did she specifically plan the dinner with Ryan and Blake on the 19th because she knew she was going to release the album?
I don't know.
Like, how Machiavellian do we get here? You know,
like, I mean? The fact that it was after that dinner that they started unfollowing Joe.
Unfollowed him. She said this has been planned for 2 years. So did she have that song?
And that was 1 year ago. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Before that dinner, people were still, oh, it's an amicable breakup. They just wanted different things.
Taylor Swift ever has those.
You know.
Taylor Lautner.
But once they had that dinner and everybody involved them, they're like, oh, he did something.
Yeah, he did.
That was the moment where everybody was like, oh, this is.
If Ryan Reynolds isn't following you, and he had previously sung his praises, like something happened.
Yep. So, all right, ladies.
All right. We're going to wrap it. All right. We'll talk next week. Season 2.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
We made it.
Finally.
Fine. We did it. All right. Bye,
it girls. Only took like 2 years, something like that.
I mean, it might have been five. I think Cal and I have been talking about doing this for a really long time, and then we just never
did it.
You did it.
Awesome.
Yay. Awesome. Have okay, bye, ladies.
Bye.
Bye.